This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Thunderstorms brought much-needed rain to south central and southeast Kansas last night, but not much. The National Weather Service reports up to an inch of rain in the Wichita area. 60-mile-per-hour wind and half-dollar-sized hail reported in Cowley County. Tornado watches were issued for much of south central Kansas Wednesday night, but no twisters were spotted. No reports of any major damage from the storms that moved east into Missouri early today. Former President Donald Trump has addressed some of the names he and his supporters have been called as of late.
The former president said in response to President Biden calling his supporters garbage that you can't lead America if you don't love Americans. He mocked Democrats for saying that he will put them in jail.
That's what they've been trying to do to me for 3 years. They got the story mixed up.
It's what motivated this supporter who said he switched from unaffiliated to registered Republican.
How they tried to dismantle him and come up with all the Russia collusion and, you know, impeach him. I can't stand for a party that would do that.
He, along with other supporters with whom I spoke, said they do not believe the race is as close as polling indicates. In Rocky Mount, North Carolina, Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
A high-energy rally for the Harris campaign in a critical battleground state Wednesday.
A raucous crowd for Vice President Kamala Harris in Madison, Wisconsin, with a performance from Mumford & Sons and other stars. Then Harris trying to set herself apart from her Republican rival.
Unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at my table.
But she didn't mention garbage, which has become a hot-button word after a comic at a Trump rally called Puerto Rico an island of garbage, and the White House saying President Biden called that comic garbage. Instead, Harris talked about tax cuts for over 100 million people and increasing affordable housing. Jill Nato, Fox News.
An investigation has begun into an alleged ethics violation. The Wichita Fire Union alleges Mayor Lily Wu had a conversation with Fire Chief Tammy Snow, telling her to lay off 45 firefighters by the end of 2025. The city's ethics office says the investigation could take several weeks before a decision is reached. Advice will be given to the board, and they will decide what, if any, action will be taken. A 24-year-old woman has been arrested on suspicion of crashing a stolen van and killing 43-year-old Mandy Buckwalter of Hutchinson earlier this week. The suspect was released from a hospital Tuesday evening and now faces multiple charges that include first-degree murder, aggravated burglary, and two counts of aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer. The woman was one of two people who fled from a stolen vehicle near 35th Street North and Webb. Formal charges are pending. The date is set for resentencing for the Menendez brothers.
A judge will decide on December 11th whether Eric and Lyle Menendez, who have spent nearly 35 years in prison for shooting their parents to death in 1989, will have a chance to be set free. Attorneys for the brothers never disputed they killed their parents, but had argued they acted in self-defense after years of emotional and sexual abuse by their father, Jose Menendez. Last week, Los Angeles County DA George Gascon said his office would recommend they be given a sentence of 50 years to life, which would make them immediately eligible for parole because they were under 26 at the time of the murders. Lisa Lacerra, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. The KNSS Morning News, 6:07 now, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock, 47 degrees this morning. The Washington Post has lost at least a quarter million subscribers since announcing last Friday it would not endorse a candidate in the presidential race. That's according to a report in the newspaper itself. That represents 10% of the paper's digital subscriptions at a time the outlet, like most news organizations, is struggling to attract interest. Neptune Beach, Florida police say they arrested 18-year-old Caleb James Williams for brandishing a machete at two female protesters at a polling place Tuesday. Neptune Beach Police Chief Michael Key says Williams was with a group of juveniles who decided to confront the protesters.
Mr. Williams decided to brandish that machete over his head at two female victims ages 71 and 54 years of age, which were in fear at that point, had called the police, and we arrived less than 1 minute later.
Williams was charged with aggravated assault on a person 65 years of age or older and improper exhibition of a firearm or dangerous weapon. The victims were waving Harris Walls signs. A University of Michigan student who is not a citizen is charged with early voting in the presidential election, but his vote will be counted.
Michigan law allows instant voter registration, and it also calls for votes to be counted after they are tabulated. The 19-year-old student, a Chinese national, is charged with perjury and voting illegally. The state attorney general says he was caught when he returned and asked to withdraw his vote. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
More girls are playing youth sports with a decline in participation among boys. That's according to an annual report.
The latest from the Aspen Institute's National State of Play shows that almost half of boys ages 6 to 17 participated regularly in sports in 2013, the number down to 41% last year. 34% of girls ages 6 to 12 and 38% of girls ages 13 to 17 participated in higher levels of sports last year, more than any other recent year dating back to at least 2012. Thoughts behind the decline in boys' sports participation include that some kids are getting priced out, edged out by competition, and while overall physical activity among the American youth received a D- from the Physical Activity Alliance. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras are showing that the traffic volumes are just now kind of starting to pick up out there on the roadways. Southbound I-235, and it's between Central and Kellogg. We have a stalled out vehicle there. It does look like things might be slowing down just a little bit in that area as those traffic volumes are picking up. Just an area to watch out for. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Storms have moved out, cooler air moving in. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies. After a colder start this morning, high of only 61 degrees, slightly below average. Winds are going to be a lot lighter, too, only getting up to 5 to 15 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rana Williams.
Now partly cloudy sky, north wind at 9 miles per hour. 47 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello.
Yeah, we had to put on the jacket or the hoodie this morning. My goodness.
A little bit different than yesterday.
Yeah. We had a cloudy, windy, rainy day across south central Kansas Wednesday, and Wichita's high temperature, 79 degrees, normal high 65. And officially, at the National Weather Service office near Eisenhower Airport, 0.58, 5,800ths of an inch of rain, almost two-thirds of an inch, eight-tenths of an inch in my rain gauge at home as of last evening, Ted. And it's basically, it looked like a lot of rain, but it takes a lot to move those gauges.
It's nice to get some steady pour for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Great, great. October 31st, you know what that means? Today is Halloween, Ted.
Yes, it is. All Hallows' Eve.
On this date in 1998, weather-wise.
Yeah, the big flood.
Remember.
Oh,
yeah.
I sure do.
The infamous Halloween flood inundated much of south central and southeast Kansas. Widespread rainfalls from 6 to 12 inches drenched the region. Now, we had under an inch. Now, imagine, now talk about 6 to 12. Oof. Major flooding occurred in west Wichita along the Cowskin Creek. Mm-hmm. Augusta was especially hard hit. The Halloween flood resulted in $37.8 million in damage and the evacuation of around 5,300 people. There were only two injuries and one fatality. And since that time, that Cowskin Creek along West Wichita, where I grew up in that neighborhood, and they have just done all kinds of engineering work, making pools
yeah,
and all.
Tried to make that.
To drain it better. And
yeah, to hopefully amazing. Not have to go through that again.
Yeah, that was just amazing improvements. There was a place over there called the Dell, which had some pretty swanky houses in it and when I was growing up, and it really got flooded out.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All right, let's see.
I remember another Halloween night in the early 90s when we had a big ice storm. So I was covering high school football playoffs for the Eagle, and it was terrible outside.
Wow. On Halloween?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, tonight, they're gonna, if you're trick-or-treating tonight, just make sure they're bundled up. It's going to be a little chilly out there tonight. On this date in 1984, Indira Gandhi, India's prime minister for more than 15 years, was assassinated by two of her own security guards.
Oh, boy.
Well, that was tough. Snow has fallen on Hawaii's tallest peak, briefly turning the mountaintop into a winter wonderland. The summit area of Mauna Kea on the Big Island got about 2 inches of white powder this week. Of course, Hawaii is better known for its warm weather, its beaches, and its rainforests. But it's not unusual for snow to fall at the higher elevations of Mauna Kea during the wet winter weather months. There you go. Steve with Head of the Boy here on KNSS, and I'm going to skip that story I had there. It's kind of gruesome to talk about something else this morning. Let's talk about, you know, the controversy, the election has pointed out how divided we are as a country.
Yeah, and that's basically all we talk about now.
It's absolutely, it's a fact.
Because as soon as someone takes office, the next cycle begins, and we yap at each other for another 4 years.
I don't want to contribute to that, but about an hour from now, I'm going to put out a question that could divide us right down the middle.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you gave me a heads up.
Just be ready for it.
All right.
And I don't know where you're going to come down. We might agree on that.
We might. I have no idea what this
is. It's a question about concerning Halloween, and I have an idea where you're. I don't even know.
All right.
We're going to find out. I know this is important to you. Tomorrow, Hello Kitty turns 50 years old. The bow-wearing character's fictional birthday has brought museum exhibits, a theme park spectacle, and accolades. If there's one thing about Hello Kitty, it's that she's proven adaptable. For the character's semi-centennial, there have been anniversary editions of merchandise ranging from McDonald's Happy Meals to a Baccarat crystal figure.
I'll tell you this, I know almost zero about this character.
Me too. An illustrator for...
And you're a cat person.
An illustrator for the Japanese company Sanrio drew her in 1974, but the design didn't debut until 1975. Well... at 75, which is the year that my daughter was born, is when this thing came out. I don't really remember it being that Hello Kitty being that popular around our house. My wife could probably correct me on that. She's more familiar with toys than I am. But Hello Kitty's pretty popular for some people, not for you and me. But, yeah, we're going to have an interesting time later on this morning as Ted and I take controversy to the mat on Halloween. Well... Hey, that was pretty good rain. Where were you at last night when it was raining? Were you out working, or what were you doing?
I was at home.
Shelly and I went out to eat, and as we were going out to eat, it was pretty much passed.
Yeah, it was all passed by the early evening.
But for a while there, we had pretty good rain up there in Riverside.
Yeah, late afternoon, we were getting a nice pour.
At least it ought to help. Maybe it'll help Cheney Reservoir come up.
Maybe you guys noticed this. I was standing out on my porch. While some of this rain was coming down, did everything kind of go really brown for a while?
Yes. My sister mentioned that to me too. She drove from the west side to the east side, and she said it was different at each stage. She goes, it was pouring and cloudy out west, and she says then she got kind of to Midtown, and it was this weird yellowish brownish color.
Yeah.
And then she said by the time she got to the east side, it was another different setting.
Yeah, it was just kind of kind of strange.
I'd hate to throw that at Ronnell Williams because he may not know anything about that. But
I bet he has some idea.
Well, they probably got some calls.
Yeah.
What's this brown stuff in the air? Okay, I got to guess it could be dust.
That was my guess actually, but
maybe the rain kicked up the dust. I don't know. Maybe it was mud. It's 6:17, Steve and Ted of the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at it. Leadoff sports this morning on Halloween with Ted Woodward. Ted?
We do have Thursday night football tonight to get the NFL week going. So you got the Houston Texans, one of the top four teams in the league. They're on the road visiting one of the bottom three teams in the league, the New York Jets. And yet, Vegas has the Jets as a 2-point favorite.
Oh. How? Why?
And everybody is befuddled by this spread.
I know what's going on. The fix is in.
Somebody knows something that I don't know.
Yeah. They're going to take a dive.
The Texans have been kind of pedestrian on the road, but still. The Jets are on a 5-game losing streak. And yet they're favored by 2 points tonight.
Yeah, well.
Vegas knows something. All right, so there you go. You can listen to it. Texans-Jets, see what happens. That coverage begins at 6:30 tonight. It's over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. All right, the baseball season has wrapped up. We are done. Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series.
Los Angeles wrapped up the eighth championship in franchise history by downing the Yankees in New York. It's the Dodgers' first full season title since 1988. LA did claim the 2020 Fall Classic, but that was during COVID, which meant there was no victory parade that year. The Dodgers bounced back in Game 5 after seeing their hopes of a series sweep end with an 11-4 loss on Tuesday. LA slugger Freddie Freeman set a Fall Classic record for home runs in consecutive World Series games. Freeman also set the Dodgers franchise mark for RBIs in a single series. Bob Mortali, Fox News.
And the winning pitcher in that game last night, Wichita native Blake Treinen, coming out of the bullpen for the Dodgers. He had the longest stint of any Dodgers pitcher last night. 2 1/3 innings of work, scoreless work, got 3 strikeouts. Treinen was the winning pitcher in Game 1 of the World Series. He was the winning pitcher last night in Game 5 of the World Series. He won 2 of the 4 games for the Dodgers. Out of the bullpen, the Wichita native, Blake Treinen, as the Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series. Hockey, the Wichita Thunder got a nice win on the road last night. Wichita beating the Allen Americans down in Texas, 5-4 in overtime. Ryan Finnegan got the game-winning goal with only 12 seconds left in overtime. Nice. 3 wins in a row for the Wichita Thunder hockey team. High school football, some smaller teams begin playoff action tonight. And, I guess some of the bigger schools do too. But one of the matchups in 8-man Division I, Cedarvale-Dexter is at Madison. Both teams have a winning record. Good matchup in the opening round of the playoffs here. Most of the high school teams start their playoffs tomorrow. High school boys soccer, we're into the regional championship games. And, of course, the winners of all these games end up going to the state tournament. Big schools in Class 6A, you've got Wichita North visiting undefeated Dodge City this evening on Halloween. You've got undefeated Wichita Southeast here in town, hosting rival Wichita East. And you've got Wichita Northwest on the road going out west to take on Liberal this evening. So good luck to all these boys' soccer teams. Wins get them into the state tournament. College women's basketball. We had exhibition play at Coke Arena last night. The Shocker women beat Northeastern State 81-46. Senior transfer from Wichita, Taylor Jamison. She had 4 three-pointers on her way to 16 points. The Shocker ladies get the big win. Up in Manhattan, 13th-ranked Kansas State won an exhibition game, beat Washburn 89-36. Sophomore from Wichita, Zianna Walker. She had 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And in college women's soccer, Kansas wins over Arizona State 2-1 in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. KU women's soccer, they've won 5 in a row, and they now advance into the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament on Saturday night. At Sports with Steve and Ted, and Sports is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Proud to serve veterans that served our nation. It's located in northeast Wichita. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
6:21 now, keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. You know, it can be tough to get off that couch and exercise. We know that. That's coming up.
But yeah, it's not breaking any news to me here.
Well, he'll have more to tell.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's coming from Steve and Ted on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 here on this Thursday morning, Halloween, 47 degrees. More than 250,000 people in Kansas have already cast their vote ahead of Tuesday's general election. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly cast her vote Wednesday. Including mail-in ballots, 340,000 have already voted in Kansas.
A man in Virginia charged with trying to vote twice last year is acquitted.
67-year-old Richardson Carter Bell Jr. claimed he voted twice to test the system for voter fraud, and a jury in Falls Church bought it, finding Bell not guilty of attempting to vote more than once in the same election. Bell admitted to voting early and then showing up at his polling place on election day. A poll worker entered Bell's name into the system, where it was revealed his ballot had already been processed. He's known as a big supporter of former President Trump, who claimed massive fraud in the 2020 election, but no evidence was found to back up those claims. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Over 1 million chickens in Iowa have been destroyed. and it had nothing to do with bird flu.
Pure Prairie Poultry Incorporated declared bankruptcy last month. But what to do about the 1.3 million chickens the poultry producer still had? The Iowa Department of Agriculture stepped in to take over care of the birds, hoping it could find a buyer for them. It couldn't. The agency said it considered donating the chickens to help low-income Iowans. But with nowhere to send them and increasing feed costs, a court allowed the department to begin what they call the depopulation of the birds. The state ag department says the chickens were put down humanely and then turned into compost. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Two Marine Corps KC-130F aerial refueling aircraft are said to be haunted by Marines who worked and flew on them.
The aircraft was introduced in 1962 to handle air-to-air refueling of fixed-wing aircraft and helicopters. They were also used to transport troops and cargo. During Vietnam, two of them with tail numbers 149-800 and 149-808 were used to transport many thousands of those killed and wounded soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines stateside. The nose number of 800 and 808 were then given the nicknames of Boo and Bob. There have been many stories over the years of people feeling uneasy or feeling watched while working on those two aircraft. According to a former mechanic, many Marines in the maintenance department would not work on those planes by themselves. Some reported seeing shapes and shadows come and go, including a profile in the pilot's seat as they were securing the aircraft. Another reported seeing someone dressed in old fatigues sitting in the parachute seat, looking out the side window. When he looked again, the figure was gone. Boo is currently being used as a trainer at Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, North Carolina. Bob is currently at the 309th Aerospace Maintenance and Regeneration Group, often called the Boneyard, near Tucson, Arizona. This Salute to Service is brought to you by Jimmy's Family Diner. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Storms have moved out, cooler air moving in. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies. After a colder start this morning, high of only 61 degrees, slightly below average. Winds are going to be a lot lighter too, only getting up to 5 to 15 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
We have a partly cloudy sky now, 47 degrees, a north wind at 9 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve, 10 in the morning, 6:34 now, and this is the 31st day of October, which we call Halloween, and it was on this date in 1941. Work was completed on the Mount Rushmore National Memorial in South Dakota. The work had begun in 1927. Took them that long to get it all done. Well, I've been there three times. I want to go back again someday. I never get enough of Mount Rushmore. How about you?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful sight.
Mount Rushmore. Quite an engineering feat there.
Yeah. Guys kind of doing it with dynamite and jackhammers and creating that.
The four presidents who are, I wonder how many people out there could name all four of them. And Washington, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and who?
Not Roosevelt.
Teddy
Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, yeah.
And Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, okay. See, I can't name it.
But the other Roosevelt, FDR did visit the site during construction.
So the Magnificent Seven, who was that fourth one? President Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, who dressed as a giant panda, hosted their final White House Halloween trick-or-treating event Wednesday. The First Lady wore the costume in a nod to the furry creature's return to the National Zoo in Washington. Jill Biden also added an educational theme to the event and called it Halloween. She has been a teacher for 40 years, and she read to students earlier Wednesday and joined the president at sunset to hand out candy and books. So there you go, Halloween at the White House. I just thought of something. You know, you've heard of trash talk. Now we have garbage talk.
Yeah, it's been your theme for the last 5 days.
Sure has. All right, here we are on this Halloween morning, and I got just a books and books of information about Halloween. I don't know where to start, Ted. The average person, just going to throw out some facts. The average person started prepping for Halloween and thinking about costumes just over 5 weeks ago. But people in their 20s and 30s have been prepping for almost 7 weeks.
Hmm.
And people who say they go big on Halloween have been planning since mid-August. I don't go big on Halloween.
I guess I'm not the average person.
And you don't go big on Halloween. I mean,
I haven't thought about it for 7 minutes, much less 7 weeks.
I think I thought about it when, you know, when you're there and it's, you're just past Labor Day and the stuff, the decorations start showing up in the buildings, you know, and whatnot. Let's see. According to the National Retail Federation, we'll spend $11.6 billion on Halloween this year, about $104 per person. Where are you on that one?
I'm below average.
Yeah,
below
the average way below.
Although,
yeah.
As expensive as peanut butter cups are these days, I may be approaching
there
that.
There you go. That includes $3.8 billion on costumes, another $3.8 billion on decorations, $3.5 billion on candy, and $500 million on Halloween greeting cards. Who's buying those?
Not me.
You send out
I've never bought one in my life.
Halloween greeting cards. All right. 72% of Americans are celebrating this year. 67% will hand out candy, 52% have put up decorations, and 49% are dressing up. Are you coming in there? Are you in on any of that? You handing out candy?
I usually don't. I'm usually not home.
Yeah, well, we're probably not. So I don't know. We haven't spent anything on Halloween at all. My wife did buy some pumpkins to put out there as decorations, but that's not Halloween. That's autumn, right? And is Halloween more of a young person holiday in general?
Well, of course it is.
21% of adults between 18 and 30 say it's their favorite holiday. Only 12% of people older than that agree.
Right.
Do you know anybody which, yeah, well, anyway, but not my favorite holiday. I've had my granddaughter Jocelyn ask me the other day, Papa, what's your favorite holiday? And I told her, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
Yes, I knew that was the answer.
Yeah, we've done this show long enough.
I think it just boils down to the fact that you get a four-day weekend.
Yeah. The longer the weekend, the more I like it.
Exactly. It's got a four-day weekend built into it. How do you not like that?
Yeah.
Halloween, you don't even get the day off on Halloween.
Yeah, you don't even get a day off.
No.
How could that be somebody's favorite? Mm. By the way, this is Steve and Ted show number 6794. 6794.
6794.
We don't have any commodities update. Tom Leffler is taking Halloween off. He's taking 3 days off for Halloween.
How am I supposed to know about the cattle complex?
There's about to be something pertinent about that. Yeah. Tom Leffler, 3 days off for Halloween.
Well, he's got to go out and buy that great big inflatable great pumpkin.
There you go. You got to save up for that 12-foot skeleton. All right. Asian shares mostly declining amid uncertainty ahead of the U.S. election next Tuesday. We had a down close on Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow closing down 92 points, NASDAQ down 105, S&P down 19. In place of Tom, I'm just trying to share a little bit of economic information with our listeners today. U.S. economy grew at a healthy 2.8% annual rate from July through September, with consumers helping drive growth despite the weight of still high interest rates. Gross domestic product, that's the economy's total output of goods and services, did slow slightly from its 3% growth rate in April-June quarter. Consumer spending, which accounts for about 70% of U.S. economic activity, accelerated to a 3.7% annual pace last quarter, up from 2.8% in the April-June period. So,
yeah, it's people buying those Halloween decorations you were talking about.
Those Halloween decorations, buying those masks and whatnot. They're stimulating the economy, Ted. All right, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS, and we got Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
A case for consolidation.
Okay.
There you go. Don will be here wearing his special hockey puck mask or whatever that thing is for Halloween. That's coming up with Steve and Ted right here on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 6:45 on this Thursday morning. That's right, Halloween. Three big things. Three. Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series with a 7-6 come-from-behind victory over the Yankees in Game 5.
Two.
Ethics investigation launched against Wichita Mayor Lily Wu for alleged comments to the fire chief.
One.
Thunderstorms bring much-needed rain to South Central Kansas, less than an inch in most places. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing things looking heavier on the roadways right now. Some heavier traffic volumes than we were seeing just a little bit ago. Starting to see some more and more traffic out there. Now, the slowest traffic I'm seeing, seeing some heavy and fairly slow-moving traffic on Broadway right now. This is affecting north and southbound, right there in the Hayesville area and just to the north of there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and cooler today with a high of 60 degrees. Yesterday's high was 79 in Wichita. Clear tonight, the overnight low 42. Make note there, if you're out trick-or-treating this evening, low 42. Friday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 68 degrees. Now partly cloudy, 47 degrees. We have a north wind at 9 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The job market for non-government physicians was much stronger than expected last month.
Nearly twice as many new jobs as estimated were created by private employers in October. Payroll processing company ADP says there were 233,000 new positions. The report says hiring was robust and broadly resilient. The forecast was 114,000. And September's total number of jobs was revised higher to 159,000. Also, annual pay rose 4.6% this month, a sign that wage growth is moderating. The monthly employment report for October is released on Friday, though the ADP report is not considered a predictor of the Labor Department's report. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Yeah, we had a down close on Wall Street Wednesday.
A choppy trading session with stocks accelerating losses in the final hour of trading as investors digested a new batch of earnings reports as well as key data that showed that the economy maintained a steady pace of growth in the third quarter. Financials were among the gainers today while technology lagged. And shares of Alphabet, parent of Google, popped 3% after the search engine giant beat expectations for third quarter revenue and profit on strength in its cloud business and YouTube ad sales. The Dow winners, American Express, Visa, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, IBM, and Apple. The Dow falling 92 points, the Nasdaq lower by 105, S&P 500 down 19. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
647, Stephen Head in the morning here on KNSS. A case for consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker, is with us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Boo.
Boo.
You know, I challenge you to create a list in your mind, if you're driving, of course, of every investment or financial account that you have. This would include checking, savings, IRAs, health savings accounts, cash value insurance policies, annuities, incurred or past employers' retirement plans and accounts. And if you're like most, there are several accounts at several different institutions. It's kind of hard to manage your money when you're not sure exactly where it is. But think about it. If you're 30 or older, you've probably worked for multiple employers. You may have even had multiple financial advisors. With your investments spread across several institutions, do you have access to those accounts? Are you in touch with the advisors? If not, do you at least have login credentials to monitor and rebalance those accounts? Well, I can understand how we get in this position. When leaving a job, it is easy to keep that 401k where it is. Perhaps we opened an IRA online a decade ago, and we've just left it invested where it is. Once we started a relationship with a new financial advisor, we didn't want to hurt the old advisor's feelings, or we just forgot about them, so we just left the accounts there. Sometimes it's a conscious decision to spread accounts across several institutions. If you think that you're diversifying by doing this, well, you're just creating confusion. You're not protecting your investments more by spreading them out. If you hold stocks, bonds, or any type of fund, it doesn't matter where you custodian those holdings. They have the same market risk or protection, whether held through several institutions or whether held at just one. It's a big job, but a good financial, certified financial planner pro can help you work, to consolidate all accounts to one institution. That way you can manage all to work together as per your plan. There's less danger of overweighting in one stock, sector, or fund. You may sleep better knowing exactly where your money is what it's doing, and why. And, of course, you have any questions, give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
You know, Don, from time to time, usually around Halloween, we will mention your movie, Monster in the Closet.
That's a scary thought.
And I think today I wanted to ask you a couple questions about it, a little bit more about it. Well, how old were you when you made that film?
I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, I guess.
Had you been already in the Navy? Or had you been to
Oh, yeah, I'd already been in the Navy. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because I was already in reserves with the Navy, and I had gotten my degree just prior to shooting the film. And I also got my commission as a naval officer, and they gave me my commission. They swore me on the set in San Francisco, of Monster in the Closet when we were shooting it there.
What year was it made?
It was made in 83.
83.
Yeah. Okay.
And does it still show now and then someplace?
If you look really hard. No, it occasionally pops up on streaming services. I think right now it's on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a guy wrote a book about it.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Did I give you that book back?
I think you did. Okay, yeah. No, there, I got this. My daughter got this email from this guy in Spain who has written a few books on cult films. And he just had this absolute obsession with Monster in the Closet. And he reached out, and I ended up connecting with him. Actually, we're going to go over and visit him hopefully next summer. Nice guy, family, and everything, but a great writer. It's in Spanish, and I provided probably 30 or 40% of the photos that are in there just because I had taken a lot on the set. But no, it's apparently a good book. I can't read it because I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like? Who was the director? Was somebody big?
A director by the name of Bob Dolan, who was a first assistant director for Robert Altman on a number of films.
Oh, really? Okay.
And actually, Bob had won an Academy Award for a short tribute to Alfred Hitchcock about some of the techniques that he used, you know, camera techniques and that sort of things. So,
you know, the film, you weren't working with a bunch of sluggos. You had three or four pretty well-known actors.
Oh, gosh. Howard Duff, Stella Stevens, John Carradine. Fergie was in it. The kid who played the professor was 11 years old. His name was Paul Walker, who's died.
Was Claude Akins in it?
Claude Akins.
Jesse White?
Who? I'm sorry.
Jesse White in them?
Jesse White was. He was my editor. He played the editor of the Globe or whatever it was.
Pretty good cast.
Yeah. It was a heck of a cast, and it was interesting to watch how they put this thing together.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they begged, borrowed, and stole to get this thing done, and then they lost money at the end and had to, unfortunately, you know, because at the very beginning, with that cast and everything, there were some big companies. Paramount wanted to buy it. Fox wanted to buy it. But Bob was afraid of losing control, you know, as a director. He wanted the final cut. Well, unfortunately, that was fatal because they ran out of money because they were overshooting things because of their inexperience. But they ended up selling it to a group called Troma at the very end, who probably put $100,000 into it just to get the special effects and get it finished.
But how long did it take to shoot it?
It took 16 weeks, and 16 weeks. It should have taken six.
Six, okay. And the last question I have is, do you still get the giant checks, residuals on that?
Oh, major checks. No, I don't know how much I get per airing, but no, I get checks. Sometimes I have gotten checks, and from other things as well, that are less than the postage it took to mail them.
Yeah. Well, now, I know you did some TV in your career, so, drama, not just, then you got on the anchoring in that part of it, newscast.
I'll be perfectly honest. What happened was, is I stopped getting booked for beer and trucks, and I was turning 30, and I finally saw the light at the end of the tunnel and said, you know what? I have not hit as an actor. So I went back to what my education was broadcast journalism.
Yeah. I'm kind of that way with this. I don't know how I'm ever going to make it in this field. Ted, give me about 10 more years. We'll see what happens. All right, guys.
We'll give you 10 years.
Yeah, you'll make it. Today is the day you look forward to, I know, National Knock Knock Joke Day.
Okay. Uh-oh. Here we go. Well, who's there?
We've talked about this before.
Who's there?
I got a few. I
mean, okay, give me lay ones.
How about Knock Knock?
Who's there?
Dwayne
who?
Dwayne the bathtub, mommy. I'm a drowning.
Okay. I got one for you. Knock Knock.
Who's there?
Eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus? Who?
Eucalyptus hair too short. I swear my grandfather,
Grandpa Grant,
loved that joke.
All right, one more. Knock Knock.
Who's there?
Rufus.
Rufus who?
Rufus, the most important part of your house. Knock Knock joke day.
Oh,
you want
bad.
To really impress your friends? Use one of those on today. All right, hey, thanks for telling us about the monster.
Thanks for asking. It's fun to talk about.
Steve at 10 in the morning now, coming up 7 o'clock hour this morning. Thunderstorms rumble across south central Kansas. That story and more news at 7. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.